Blog Talk Radio.
Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training center in Denver, Colorado, presents Mush, You Huskies, a show about dog-powered sports and mushing. Visit our website at mushingradio.com. Mush, You Huskies, is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Here's your host, Dr. Robert Forto.
Hello and welcome. My name is Robert Forto. I'm here with my co-host, Michelle, and you are listening to Mush You Huskies, brought to you by Denver Dog Works and Dog Works Training Centers. Well, the news has calmed down with all of the big names of the Iditarod in, and not a whole lot to report in terms of behind-the-scenes type stuff, but we do want to get you up to the minute of the top 36 finishers. So well over half of the field is now into Nome. And Michelle is going to start with our Iditarod champion, Lance Mackey, and carry you all the way through number 36.
Good evening, everyone. Lance Mackey, Hans Gott, Jeff King, Kenton Anderson, John Baker, Ray Smith, Sebastian Schnull, Dallas Seavey, Hugh Neff, Mitch Seavey, Ray Reddington Jr., Zach Steer, Jerry Willmeister, Martin Boozer, Jesse Royer, Ali Zirkel, Sven Altman, Sonny Linder, Paul Gebhardt, Rick Swenson, Dan Caducci, Didi Jonro, Sam Smith, Jim Lanier, Bruce Linton, Michael Williams Jr., Michelle Phillips, Peter Kaiser, Thomas Lazak, Jared Souza, Robert Nelson, Jason Barron, William Johnson, Matt Hayashida, Alan Moore, and Colleen Rabersha.
So with half of the field into Nome now, as I was saying just a second ago, there's not a whole lot going on in terms of prep in regards to the mushers that are still out there. There have not been any other mushers that have dropped or scratched since our last report last night. But as we look on the leaderboard, it does show that Jamaican musher number 40 is in 46th place, Newton Marshall, and our Scottish musher, Waddy McDonald, is in 47th, so right behind Newton Marshall. Michelle?
There's also two mushers from Colorado. In 37th place is William Pinkham from Glenwood, Colorado. And also in 45th place is Lachlan Clark. And I've spoken to him on the phone. He's quite a nice guy.
Yeah, he's interested in offering some type of dog food for our teams in the future. Is that right?
That's what the discussions were about, but I don't know if he still is a distributor for the same company. He said that they were going to possibly pull out. It was Dr. John's?
Dr. Tim's, sorry. That's a major dog food supplier for a lot of mushers, and I know that they had a really good blogger that was blogging from their site during the Iditarod. But something that I saw last night on Facebook, the Scottish musher, Waddy McDonald, he was patting himself on the back saying that he is updating his Facebook from the Iditarod Trail.
Sounds like something you'll be doing.
Well, you know, I hope not. I hope to be focused on the task at hand, but he's having a great time. He had some pictures on his profile of his dog truck. He took an old Mercedes type panel van and fixed it up real nice to make a pretty cool-looking dog truck.
That's pretty cool. You know, there's a lot of different types of dog trucks out there. What was the number one brand of truck you saw out there?
You know, it's interesting. I saw a lot of older trucks, and what I kept thinking about is your dad's old Ford, what does he have, a 350?
No, F-250.
Oh, he has a 250. I saw all kinds of those really old, beat-up trucks out there. Of course, there's a lot of diesels out there, a lot of trailers, and I found that kind of interesting because here, living in Colorado, it's difficult to haul a dog trailer up and down the mountain passes.
Right, and we had tried that with a 1985 Ford Bronco, and we discovered that that wasn't always pleasurable.
That is right. Tell them that story real quick, Michelle.
Well, there were quite a few stories about that truck because you couldn't put oil in it. I had to literally crawl up in the engine and do that for you. It had a lot of problems when you purchased it. Went through two engines in one racing season, pulling a decent-sized six-dog trailer. Hoosier Pass killed it all the time. A lot of people don't know we had property in Bailey, and to get to Winter Park, we used to drive through Hoosier Pass and go up and run our dogs, and that pass would just kill that truck.
You know, we were going up those mountain passes at about 20 miles an hour in that old Bronco, and everybody would be passing us and giving us the finger and everything else, and we'd just be tooting along.
Yeah, except for the one time when our son Tyler, who was five at the time, got in the back of the truck and sat in his seat where he was supposed to, and you had your CD player right where his feet were, and he stepped on it and broke it, and we got stuck listening to Voodoo by Godsmack for five straight hours because you refused to turn it off because you wanted to teach the kid a lesson.
There you go, and I think he's still a Godsmack fan today.
That song for sure.
That is true. And I remember also with that old truck, we were driving up from Colorado. I think we were heading up to a race in Hill City, and we were just cruising up I-25, and that thing literally exploded, going about 75 miles an hour.
Yeah, I was behind you. I watched it blow up.
And you saw flames coming out of the bottom of it.
Well, not necessarily flames, but sparks for sure and a big plume of black smoke.
So luckily we were taking two cars at the time, and we were in between Denver and Cheyenne at Johnson's Corner, and if any of you guys have ever traveled through Colorado, you know exactly what Johnson's Corner is. They are supposed to have the world's best cinnamon rolls. So if you get a chance to drive through Colorado, make sure you stop at Johnson's Corner. But anyway, our truck exploded traveling up 25, and we packed everything that we had in your GMC Jimmy.
Yeah, 1993 GMC Jimmy, and we could not pull the dog trailer because it wasn't trailer ready.
Right.
So that meant three kids, including a three-year-old in a car seat, and six dogs, and two sleds, and all the equipment, plus you and I, got in that car.
And I'll never forget stopping on the way to Hill City, and I took young Tyler in for the bathroom.
Is he getting a bad rap tonight?
He's getting a bad rap. What happened to little Tyler?
Tyler is a little kid who eats about every 2 hours, and that you couldn't understand that. You couldn't understand why Tyler needed to eat every 2 hours. Tyler has a very high metabolism, and he has low blood sugar, so he eats often. Well, he followed you in the gas station and asked you for a candy bar, and you said no because we were going to eat in a little while. Well, a little while turned into 4 hours, so Tyler decided that he should just get the candy bar he wanted, and he shoplifted a candy bar when he was 5 years old. We didn't know it until we were about 100 miles away, and he was so hungry he couldn't wait anymore. He had taken this king-size Snicker bar, his favorite kind of candy, and stowed it away and waited and waited and waited for a couple hours to pass, like you told him we would be eating in a couple hours, and it didn't happen, so he ate that candy bar, and I smelled it and said, "What are you eating?" And there you've got it. He was sunk from then forward.
We did not deal well with that shoplifting experience from a five-year-old, did we?
You didn't deal well with it. I kind of found it funny because the kid was hungry, so he figured he should take the food. He didn't understand that you didn't pay for it because anytime he was out with his grandfather and he wanted something, they pretty much got it.
The Outlaw at five.
Yeah.
You know, so we ended up driving all the way up to Hill City. It's only about 8 hours from Denver, but we made it up there in decent time, just in time for the mushers meeting at a little restaurant, and I remember strolling in there, strung out from the road, as the Bob Seger song says, and we made it just in time and ended up running that race out of the back of that Jimmy with six Siberian Huskies in crates, some of them two or three in a crate at a time.
No.
Yes.
We had one crate. We couldn't put the other crate in the car because there was no room, and three dogs were not in crates. And the boys were holding onto the dogs. My 8-year-old and my 5-year-old were holding onto the dogs for that whole trip while their sister was in a car seat that couldn't be seat belted in because we had to fold all the seats down and get all the equipment in the car.
You know,
we were highly illegal on this trip. Not only were we promoting shoplifting by our 5-year-old, but we weren't following any sort of seatbelt law or anything else law.
I remember I won a part of the purse in that race. And
you won $100.
$100. But the purse was only.
And the kids all got ice cream sundaes from the local little burger shop because Nicole doing the. Was that the year she did the weight pull? No, that wasn't the year.
That was the year following.
Yeah.
We did receive a little bit of a purse from that, and I always think about that. You know, we never did cash that check, and it's laying around here somewhere. That $100 purse, and it wasn't the fact of winning. A portion of the purse. It was just the experience of getting there.
Well, you know, and that's what the significance of winning that little check was about. You know, it was about the fact that we had just rescued those six dogs. We hadn't had them for more than a month, and we went up there to this little race in this faraway town to give it a shot.
You know, Hill City, South Dakota, that is an awesome place. For those of you guys that don't know anything about Hill City, it is...
About 20 miles from the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, it's the city where Mount Rushmore is located. So if you were to Google Mount Rushmore, you would pull up Hill City, and it's about 35-40 minutes or so from Rapid City, South Dakota, the largest city there.
Yeah, and
closest
it's not
to the Black
quite an
Hill.
Hour from Sturgis.
No, it's on the way to Sturgis, but I always found that race was a nice little. Starting off race for the season. They always had it at the beginning of January, and I was just looking on their website just this year on the Chamber of Commerce website for Hill City, and unfortunately they canceled that race. So I know that times are tough, and things like dog sledding races often fall by the wayside, but I was always grateful for that little race there in Hill City.
It was just a sprint race, though, and you're not going to be doing sprint races.
No, it was a mid-distance. It was a 25-miler.
Oh, I always thought that you were entering into the sprint race.
No, it was a 25-mile sprint or a mid-distance race, a very short mid-distance race, but a mid-distance race otherwise. So we're going to take a break real quick, and we'll be right back.
Team Eneke is a professional Siberian Husky racing team located in Denver, Colorado and Duluth, Minnesota. Dr. Robert Forto and his team are training for their first Iditarod run in 2013. Team Eneke is seeking corporate and individual sponsors. For more information, visit our website at teamineke.com. That's TEAMINEKA.com. Let's get back to the show. Must you Huskies? Gee-ha!
Back on Must You Huskies, brought to you by Denver Dog Works and Team Eneke. I am here with my co-host and business partner, and of course, wife Michelle. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you know, I want to discuss the dog trucks a little bit more because we have a Toyota Tundra 2002, and before we had a Chevy Extra Cab 1500 with a dog box already on it. Your new truck is going to need a dog box, and I'm wondering what we're going to be able to do to get that built for you.
We're going to start in just a couple of weeks. I'm going to harness your dad for a brainstorming session about how to get started, and we'll be ready to go. And as a matter of fact, when we're up at the start of the Iditarod in Anchorage, there was a truck just like mine, and I took a whole bunch of pictures of that little dog truck and hoped to work out a plan based on that. So we're going to get started on that sooner than later.
That sounds great. Now, are we going to be also incorporating a trailer into your setup?
I don't think so. And that's what started this whole discussion, was a lot of mushers up there at that Iditarod were using trailers. And
I remember in Colorado when we used our trailer, we were...
by far the minority.
By far the minority, but also the mushers would come over and seek us out and pretty much want to shake us because we were being so cruel to our dogs by not having them in the same vehicle that we were traveling in. But, you know, people travel with their horses and their other livestock in trailers all the time, and I really didn't see that... traveling with your dogs in a trailer was that big of a deal.
It was a nice trailer, too. I mean, it was a state-of-the-art trailer with lighting and insulated doors and the whole nine yards. I would love to have that trailer.
Yeah, it was nicer than most of the dog trucks that we were dealing with down here.
That is right. So in the episodes coming up on Mushu Huskies, as I said at some point during this week, we're going to go back to our biweekly schedule starting on March 21st will be our last nightly episode, and I'm hoping to have ninth place finisher Hugh Neff on that evening. He just sent me a message a little while ago on Facebook asking when he could be on the show. So we're going to try to get him as our wrap-up show for our Iditarod coverage. If everything works out well, he will be on that show Sunday evening. If not, we will record the interview and put it on our next show. In the upcoming shows, what I plan to do is discuss different parts of the sport of mushing and other dog-powered sports. Starting out, we're going to do a little bit of a segment-type show. So we're going to start out with a little bit of history of dog sledding. Then we're going to talk quite a bit about equipment. We're going to talk about dog breeding. We're going to have several guests on as we go. Now that the season is over, I'm going to start lining up some guests. And I know my good friend April Wood is going to be on our show very soon, and I'm planning on heading out to California in a few weeks to talk dogs with her. I know she's a Siberian musher out there in – is that considered northern or central California, Michelle?
It's actually north central California. She's not in northern or what would be considered northern because she's south of San Francisco.
Yeah, she lives right there.
She lives at the top of the San Joaquin Valley in the mountains just outside of Yosemite in the Sierra Nevada range.
And they run with a group of mushers out there called the Sierra Nevada Dog Drivers. And I think that's a pretty big mushing club out that way. And I got a message from her last night, and she said that they still have quite a bit of snow, and she invited me to come out and run some of her dogs when I do go out there and sent me a link to a cool little hotel that they have out there in their town, and I'm looking forward to going out there and talking dogs with those guys.
Yeah, you know, I grew up not very far from there, so I know the area quite well. And in the Sierra Nevada, which is where Yosemite National Park is, there is snow there for a great number of months after the winter ends.
Yes.
Up until late May, early June in the higher elevations, and a lot of people don't realize that, but that is because before you get to Yosemite, you're in the Sierra Nevadas, and there's a large valley, and then there's also the Santa Cruz Mountains, so the Sierra Nevada are sheltered pretty well from the warm air from the coastline.
I'm looking forward to heading up that way, and also going to be doing a trip up to Minnesota in the very near future. To scope out some property. I just got a email about 5 minutes ago from a realtor up there that is a land realtor. I'm looking forward to heading up that way too to really start to find some good trails and running positions down here in the lower 48. Michelle, anything else you want to mention before we close tonight?
No, I think that you know, if people want to send us questions and would like to have them answered about certain things regarding mushing or the Iditarod, they need to email you, and we'll answer their questions as they come up to us on our radio show.
And you can find a link to our email at our website at mushingradio.com. Or you can just send us an email at live@dogdoctorradio.com. And just a very quick reminder, every Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m. Mountain Time, is our flagship show, the Dog Doctor Radio Show. This week, we are talking about Dogs Need Heroes 2, and it still has a little bit of a mushing spin to it, so we're looking very forward to that, and make sure that you catch that show as well. You are listening to Must You Huskies, part of the Twine Group Media Network. And as I said, we will be on the air throughout the year, so make sure you hit that favorite button on blogtalkradio.com. My name is Robert Forto. I'm here with my co-host, Michelle. We will see you hear you tomorrow. Never forget your dreams. See you later. Thank you.